ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। The title of this talk has been given, Stay High Forever. To give some background for this title, just before I get into it, please put your phones off and don't take photos or during this, especially not with this bright light. Thank you. If you want to photograph me, you can do so later. Yeah. So this talk is titled, Stay High Forever. You might wonder what that's all about. It's not a very common sounding kind of title. To give some background for this, our most worshipable Sri Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, he journeyed first to America in 1965 for the purpose of teaching Bhagavad Gita, the essence of Bhagavad Gita, which is surrender to Krishna, to spread the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. It wasn't a very likely prospect. Nowadays, we think it's quite normal to see devotees of Krishna from all over the world. But at that time, it was unthinkable. Sadhu meant Indian. There's no question of a Western sadhu. As was just mentioned, I first came to India in 1976. And many people would just come up to me and say, you cannot be a Hindu, maybe in your next life, not in this life. You have to be born a Hindu. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, he didn't specifically go to teach Hinduism. Because Hinduism can mean almost anything. But he specifically came to teach the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. Krishna says, giving up all kinds of dharmas, completely surrender to me. Take full shelter in me. So Srila Prabhupada came to teach this. And this message is for everyone. This is Atma Dharma for every living being. Krishna never said that you be a good Hindu, or this is only for Indians. He says, Mamaivangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Every jiva, every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada came to teach this. It was an unlikely prospect that people in the Western countries would take to Krishna consciousness. Of course, there had been what are called Hindu preachers in America. Famously, Swami Vivekananda went to America. And in America, he learned to eat beef, among other things. But although he was much lauded in India, having come back, he didn't change people's character and consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada, he went to teach Krishna consciousness and spread the holy name, but he had some conditions also. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, down to tea or coffee. That's tough even for Indians, what to speak of Americans. You don't think of tea or coffee as intoxication, but it is unnecessary. It's an anartha, something which is unnecessary. It doesn't help our spiritual advancement. So it was unlikely. In fact, some of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, his fellow disciples of his guru, had gone to England in the 1930s. And one British lord, high class of society, had asked one of his godbrothers, jokingly, "Can you make me a brahmana?" And he said, "Yes, I can make you a brahmana, but there are some conditions." He said, "What are the conditions?" "Well, the first condition is no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex." And the lord, Lord Zetland, he replied, "Impossible. This is our whole life. This is what we live for." So it seemed an impossible proposition that anyone would take to this life of Krishna consciousness. What Srila Prabhupada came to teach was something which most Indians weren't interested in. Because at that time, and it's going on now also, that India was on a very materialistic course. That after Indian political independence, the idea is that we need to develop materially. India is backward because of religion. The temples of modern India will be the factories. That was the idea of one pundit. He was called a pundit, Jawaharlal Nehru. That was his idea. Temples, better make factories. So it's a very material, the idea we have to increase our technology. So India was very materialistic at the time. And of course, America's very materialistic also. But anyway, Srila Prabhupada had the order from his guru to take the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So he went to America with the faith that if people hear the message of Krishna as given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they can be purified because everyone is Atma. And even though culturally Americans are a long way away from Krishna consciousness, if they hear the message, that will have the effect because it's the truth. And even though we're all covered by Maya into thinking that I should try to enjoy this material world, if anyone agrees to hear regularly the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then by the mercy of the devotees, by the mercy of Krishna within the heart, anyone who regularly hears the message of Krishna, they will be purified and they can take up Krishna consciousness. Shinvatang swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtanaha hridyantasto hi bhadrani vidhunoti suhritsatam. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, anyone who hears the message of Krishna, which is in itself, it's a purifying activity to hear the message of Krishna, then all the dirty things in the heart will become cleansed. The dirty things means kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, all these lust, greed, anger, pride, envy, illusion. This will be cleansed from the heart. So Srila Prabhupada had the confidence that it is possible that people can take to Krishna consciousness anywhere, and especially because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted, Priti vite ache jato nagara digram sarvatra pracha hoibe moranam. My name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will be preached in every town and village of the world. So Srila Prabhupada went to America, thinking that America is the most prominent country in the world, And yadyad acharati shreshtas tadad eva taro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, whatever the shreshta, whatever the people who are considered the best, whatever they do, other people will follow. And practically we see this. Just like we see modern Bangalore, it's an imitation of America, with shopping malls and Western dress and taking dogs for a walk in the morning. No one used to do this, but it's an and you go to Dubai, it's an imitation of America. Go to Singapore, it's an everywhere. It's an imitation of America. So Srila Prabhupada wanted that Americans, if they take to Krishna consciousness, others will follow. So Srila Prabhupada went to America, and of course in America they're all different kinds of people. In India there are different kinds of people. There are Hindus, Muslims, Christians, and then within Hinduism there are different castes, and there are Karnatakas and Tamils and Telugu and all different. There are all different kinds of people. So in America there are different kinds of people also. And from Srila Prabhupada's early writings, it appears that he expected that the more intellectual class of people in America would take to the teachings of Gita, because after all, Gita, it's philosophy. It's the philosophy of life. So you'd expect that generally people who are very sober and thoughtful, they would take to this. But unexpectedly, it was the hippies of America who took interest in Krishna consciousness. And the hippies, they were mostly from middle-class background, college dropouts, and living a degraded life. They were considered very unusual by the Orthodox people of America, the conventional people, and the men would grow their hair long, and they didn't work in any job mostly, and one of their main things was taking intoxication, not so much alcohol, but more illegal intoxication, especially marijuana. It's just becoming legalized in America now. That's ganja or bhang, there are different words. I don't know what it is in Canada, but ganja, do they say? Yeah. So it seems that some people from America had come to India and gone to Rishikesh and seen the Shaiva Babas there smoking with their chillums, and they got that idea. And they picked it up in America. And then also, there was one drug, dilysergic acid, I think. Anyways, called LSD for short, which was popular, an illegal drug. And the hippies would take it. And another thing that was very popular among the hippies was illicit sex. They're just change their sexual partners day by day, which at that time in America was not considered very good. Now it's come to be considered normal, and Bangalore is also picking up this degraded and way of life. So the hippies, yeah, they're low class, generally quite dirty, and taking drugs was very much part of their way of life. There was also some kind of spiritual quest, because many of them would read books by different Indian yogis and Buddhist monks and all this kind of thing. So it was all a mishmash. But anyway, this taking drugs was very important. And when you took drugs, smoking cannabis, marijuana, or taking this LSD, these were the two most popular drugs at the time, then you got a sensation, and they called that getting high. that you feel euphoric. You feel, it's very nice. So that was the central part of hippie life, to get high. One problem with getting high, one of the problems is that you take the drug and after some time the effect wears off. So you get high and then again you get low. And with most drugs, you go high and then you come low, but not just to the platform you're on before, but lower still. You feel, completely horrible. I don't know if any of you have taken alcohol and get drunk. I guess in Bangalore, many have. I have. I was, after all, born in Britain. And that's what you do. So after drinking the next morning, you feel really horrible. So this title, Stay High Forever, was a slogan which was adopted by Srila Prabhupada's early disciples for preaching to the hippies. They themselves were ex-hippies. So they said that by Krishna consciousness you can stay high forever. You go up and you stay up and you don't come down again. Another problem of when you go up, you have this high. It's actually not a high, it's just an artificial adjustment of the consciousness by taking some intoxication. And then you feel all your problems, you forget them all. That's why often in the Western countries, there's a saying in English, to drown your sorrows. Have you heard that saying? To drown your sorrows. Sorrows means dukkha, so people have anxiety, and depression, tension, and so many mental distresses. So to drown your sorrows means to drink a lot. So the idea of drowning, and then you just forget it. For the time that you're drunk, you forget all your problems. But then afterward, you wake up and not only are the problems are still there, they don't go away. Plus you have the problem of a headache and maybe you get arrested for something you did when you are drunk and you can't remember that you did it. So getting high with intoxication, it gives an artificial sense of well-being, but it doesn't last. And it has a bad effect on the physical health and on the mental health. People who take intoxication repeatedly, then their mental condition is going to be seriously, adversely affected. So Krishna consciousness, the early disciples of Srila Prabhupada, presenting Krishna consciousness to the hippies, who were among the hippies, there was some interest because they were looking for something different or better than the materialistic society in which they were raised. The hippie movement was a kind of protest against the highly materialistic American way of life. The parents couldn't understand that we worked hard and now we got plenty of money and our children, they're born into wealth which we had to work hard for, but they're not satisfied because the hippies, they saw it's all very superficial, this materialistic way of life. And so they were looking for something spiritual, but they got sidetracked by taking drugs and by all this mixed up philosophical ideas that were coming from different Indian swamis and Buddhist lamas, and they'd mix it up with some. In the Western countries, there's also some tradition of metaphysical transcendentalism. The names are there: William Blake, Ralph Waldo Emerson. These are like spiritually minded people in the history of the Western world. So the hippies showed interest in Krishna consciousness. Not very much the conventional philosophical or educated class. But so Srila Prabhupada's disciples were preaching to the hippies, trying to bring more of them in. It wasn't such an easy thing because no meat eating, many of the hippies already became vegetarians without Srila Prabhupada's preaching. That was at that time in the Western countries, to be a vegetarian was something very unusual, but many of the hippies took it up, or they were willing to take it up. No gambling. Anyway, the hippies didn't have any money to gamble, and they weren't much interested in that anyway. And no illicit sex. That was absolutely against the hippie culture, because for them, free sex was central to their life. And no intoxication, no drugs. Now, this LSD, this drug, the hippies, they thought this is spiritual, because you take it and then you get all these sensations and all these thoughts in your mind, and they thought it was spiritual. But Srila Prabhupada said, no, it's not spiritual. It's tamasic, it's in tamoguna. You think that your consciousness is being elevated, but actually intoxication degrades the consciousness. So many more people could have taken or to Srila Prabhupada's teachings if he had told them that, yeah, you chant Hare Krishna and you take drugs, it's okay. You have a sex as you like, it's okay. But no, because he came to teach the truth, which is that spiritual perfection of understanding our eternal relationship with Krishna, that requires that we become pure. Krishna is the supreme pure. So to become pure, we have to lead a pure life. We can't take intoxication. So how are you going to convince the hippies who think that taking drugs is wonderful? Stay high forever. This life of Krishna consciousness will take us up and we will stay up. Everyone wants to go up, not only by drugs, but by various means. This whole society, modern competitive society in Bangalore, it's practically as soon as you're born, the parents are thinking, where's the best kindergarten, pre-kindergarten, and from the very beginning of life, pushed into the corporate struggle to get ahead. Educate the children, work hard, get more money, and then you get into corporate life. And the whole idea is how to go up, up, which means to get more money, to get what's called a good job. And in this way, be higher than others. Everyone wants to be high. That's the general idea, to be high. So that is material life, to want to be higher than others. And real spiritual life means to understand that constitutionally I am low, because Krishna is high and we are all subordinate to Him. And actually in this material world everyone is low. There are material gradations. In India, who's in the top position? Well, I guess you could say politically, Narendra Modi is. But he won't stay high forever. Maybe at the next elections he'll come down. Or even if he goes on, death will take that position away. Then high also from the economic point of view, I guess Mukesh Ambani, is it? Is he the richest? Higher than your Azit Premji and Narayan Murthy, he's bigger, huh? But it won't stay, because in the material world, you can get high, but as I often say, this is the law of the material world, aaj ka raja kal ka kutta. It's like that. It's a fact. It's a fact. You high today, low tomorrow. And who is the mosquito? I'm just pretending. That might have been my grandfather. It might have been the previous Prime Minister of India. That's the way material life works. So you go high and you come low. Up, down, up, down, up, down. So actually the whole material situation is low, even if you're very high in the material world, and much higher than Bill Gates or... what's that guy that's... President of America, what's his name? Huh? Trump, I forgot. Yeah. Trump. What's his first name? Donald Trump. Yeah, okay. So, he's very high now. How long? He has to go down. But higher than Trump, there's Indra in the heavenly planets. Higher than Indra is Brahma. And Brahma, he lives for... I don't even know how to say it. It's a 340 trillion... If you put zeros... How many zeros are there? It's about almost 15, 16 zeros. How many years he lives. Then he dies and then he's finished. So, in this material existence, actually everyone is low. Because we're in the world of Maya, the world of repeated birth and death. It's constitutionally a low position. It's just like among the dogs in the street, there's packs of dogs run around in the street, and in each little pack of dogs, one of them is the boss, right? He barks the loudest, and the others are afraid of him. So he's thinking, I'm in a very high position, but the dog is constitutionally a low position. However, big fangs you have as a dog, you're still a dog. So it's constitutionally a low position. So in this material world, we're in constitutionally a low position. And although among ourselves we might think, yes, now I'm successful, big house, big job, lots of money, lots of prestige. But it's constitutionally in this material world, we are in illusion. Even to think that I can go high without going to Krishna is a sign of our ignorance. We're in the world of Maya. Another example, in the prison house. You can be in the prison house, and there, some prisoners, they're given very stringent treatment, and other prisoners, they're more favored, but you're still a prisoner. In the prison, you say, I have good, respectable position, but you're a criminal. That's why you're in the prison. So this is our position. We're in a low position. We're meant for a high position. But what is our high position? The high position is to be at the lotus feet of Krishna. That is high. To be at someone's feet is to be in a low position. But that is our actual position, is at the feet of Krishna, to be subordinate to Krishna. He is the supreme controller, and we are controlled. We have to recognize that. By not recognizing that, we continue in this world of illusion, of repeated birth and death. So, by recognizing our position of subordination to Krishna, we get reinstated in our natural position in the spiritual world of service to Krishna. And that naturally makes us feel happy. This material world is a place of suffering. It's quite apparent in Bangalore. People think, they come from the villages and think, oh, we'll go to Bangalore, and then we'll be happy. But it's not happy. There's more, day by day, life is becoming more and more difficult in Bangalore. Is it not? So where's the happiness? And then we think, oh, well, we'll adjust this. We'll just some little adjustment this way, that way. It's the government's fault. Okay. Who's the government now? Congress? Is it in Karnataka? Okay. Throw them out, bring in BJP. And then after 4 years, 5 years, it's BJP's fault. Throw them out, bring Congress or JD or something like that. But the misery just goes on increasing and increasing. The politicians, they can't stop it. Because the world is by nature full of misery, and the misery comes the more we try to be happy in forgetfulness of Krishna, the more we suffer. What is the cause of all the problems? Karma, material desire. So this modern city of Bangalore is built on material desire. Get more, earn more, spend more, work hard, party harder. And no one's happy. Bangalore is famous as a place of business, and as you know, one of the best businesses here is mental hospitals for IT workers, mostly IT workers. If you have any money left after partying harder, then you spend it all for the mental hospital. What a miserable life. Stay high forever. Then you have to come to Krishna consciousness, because we become fully happy. In this material world, there's only an illusion of happiness. Isn't it? The whole Bangalore is an illusion of happiness, that by developing the economy, bring more business, bring international business, bring people from America to get operations done, and we'll get more money. And the whole idea is that in development, this is what we need. And the actual result? More and more misery. So it's not even the idea that we'll become high, but it's only an illusion. And therefore for the IT workers, they have to, the idea, work hard, party harder, because if the little time they have, if they stop to think, what am I doing with my life, then they'll quit their job. So you have to tell them, go and party. And then they'll get drunk and have sex and forget it all and go back to work on Monday morning. But don't let them rest or think. They have to go to parties and get drunk, and then don't let them think at all. So that's why the IT business, they have to keep them all the time with more and more adrenaline running, and then eventually pop, and then another candidate for the mental hospital. So this is all nonsense way of life. The whole of Bangalore is just, not just Bangalore, I'm saying Bangalore because I'm in Bangalore, but the whole life in the material world in general and material civilization, this so-called development and progress, it's all completely nonsense. It works completely against our real self-interest. What is our self-interest? Well, yeah, to get money, no. I just said the name Mukesh Ambani. Is he happy? I think he should be happy with all that money, but then why is he working hard and trying to expand his business more and more? It means he's not satisfied. You might think, if I had that much money, I'd be satisfied. But he's not satisfied. So, if you become as rich as him, will you become satisfied? No. No one's satisfied in this material world because it cannot bring satisfaction. So there's no question of being high in this material world. What to speak of staying high? High means high consciousness. High consciousness means without karma, without material desire. So for that, people, they may go to the forest or the caves to meditate. But devotees of Krishna, they chant Hare Krishna. They revive their relationship with Krishna. And in this way, the material desire is changed. Desire remains. Desire is not necessarily bad. This is the Buddhist teaching, that all suffering comes from desire. That's true. But all happiness also comes from desire. The Buddhist idea is that all suffering comes from desire. We don't want to suffer, so stop desire. Sounds like a good idea, right? lung problems come from smoking. So stop smoking, and your lung problems will go away. That makes sense, doesn't it? So all suffering comes from desire. So stop desire, and all suffering will go away. Well, there's a problem with that, because by nature, we are Atma, we are conscious living beings, and desire is inherent in us. We cannot stop desiring. So does that mean that we're doomed to suffer forever? No. But we have to learn how to desire in a way that will not degrade us. So material desire is the cause of all suffering. And spiritual desire, that is the cause of all bliss. So what is spiritual desire? That might sound something, what is that? Desire is material. No, not necessarily. We only know material desire because we don't have any experience of pure desire. Material desire means to think what I can get for myself. And from that, from karma comes krodha. Krodha, generally understood to mean anger, but that also means frustration. From material desire comes from frustration. Either our desire is not fulfilled and we feel frustrated, or it is fulfilled, but we still don't feel satisfaction at heart, and therefore we still feel frustration. So either way, material desire brings frustration. And then calm accumulated means lobha. We want more and more possessions so that I can feel I have so many things. From karma comes all suffering. But there is spiritual desire also. That spiritual desire is to serve Krishna. Krishna is completely pure. There's no mundane desire in Krishna. In Krishna there is prema. The word prema, that should be used only in connection with Krishna. The word karma can be used in connection with all material desires. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is defined. Atendriya priti vancha tare bole kam, Krishnendriya priti icha dhare prema nam. This means that the desire to satisfy our own senses, that is called karma or material desire. But the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses, that is called prema or love. So to stay high forever, it's very simple. We simply have to think how, by our activities, by our thoughts, by our words, we can by our very life, we can satisfy Krishna. And if we do that, because Krishna is all pure, then the material desires go down, go away. To become free from material desire is very difficult. Otherwise, you have to stop desire. To try to stop desire, you have to perform austerities, lead a life in the jungle as a yogi. Very difficult to stop material desire. But if we simply think, how can I satisfy Krishna with everything I do, then automatically the material desires go away. And it's very easy to serve Krishna. For instance, Krishna says, Patrang pushpang palam tayam yome bhaktya prayachati tadahang bhaktyupaharitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Krishna says, if one offers me with bhakti, a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, Krishna says, I will accept it. So bhakti is very easy to do. We simply, instead of thinking, what can I get to eat for myself? How can I enjoy my tongue? We think, let us offer all nice food to Krishna. And then we also take Krishna prasad, and we also become satisfied. But the satisfaction of taking food that is offered to Krishna, Krishna prasada, that doesn't just satisfy the tongue and the belly, but it satisfies the soul, because that's spiritual food. That's why that's a very important part of Krishna conscious culture, the offering of food to Krishna and taking prasad. And materialistic people say, what is this? Some statue, you put some food. No, this is completely spiritual. That is Krishna. And he accepts our offering of love. Chanting the name of Krishna, singing, dancing. They what is that? Work hard, party harder. But they only party once a week. Devotees of Krishna, we have a party every day. Singing, dancing. Yeah, every day. So we start our every day singing and dancing. But no intoxication. We don't. Generally people require some intoxication, then they start dancing. But we don't, because we're in contact with Krishna, who is the reservoir of all pleasure. He's the best dancer of all. And if we come in contact with Krishna, then naturally we feel very happy and we want to dance. So Krishna conscious, it's very natural spiritual life. There's nothing artificial. Taking some drug to alter the consciousness, it's artificial, it's temporary, and it degrades our consciousness. But if we take to Krishna consciousness by chanting the names of Krishna, taking food which is offered to Krishna, associating with devotees of Krishna, then automatically that is high consciousness. Our consciousness is elevated. We don't come down to the petty level of this material world of thinking, I want this, I want that, this is mine, that is my enemy. But we see that everyone, I am part of Krishna, everyone is part of Krishna. So automatically we come to high consciousness. And not only do we stay high forever, but we go up and up and up and up, and there's no coming down. So Krishna consciousness is the process to stay high forever. So the purpose of this program is to invite you all to come to Krishna consciousness so that you can stay high forever. And we have some basic training programs, nothing very difficult. The training is basically how to understand that I am meant for serving Krishna. It's not a very difficult thing to understand. It's not exactly an intellectual course. There are so many educational institutions in Bangalore. But it's not so much an intellectual course, although we discussed philosophy, Bhagavad Gita, but it's changing our consciousness. Changing our consciousness from how can I enjoy this material world to how can I live for the pleasure of Krishna. And if we live for the pleasure of Krishna, then automatically we become happy ourselves. So, Hare Krishna. Stay high forever. Hare Krishna. Who's asking the question? Musical instruments.
So, when this process is going on, one enjoys the music. Meanwhile, he enjoys the music. And if the person forgets, if he concentrates only on music, rather than Krishna bhajan,
when kirtan is going on, and if you're enjoying the music and not thinking about Krishna, are you in Krishna consciousness? No, because Krishna consciousness means to be conscious of Krishna. So apart from singing and dancing, we also have to hear the teachings of Krishna and understand that the activities of Krishna consciousness, even though they make us happy, we shouldn't think I'm doing it to make me happy. We are secondary enjoyers. We have to think I'm doing this for the pleasure of Krishna. Let Krishna be happy. Krishna wants us to sing. Krishna becomes happy when we sing his name. So let us do so for his pleasure. And if we do so thinking that let me become a great musician, then that is material consciousness, not spiritual consciousness. Spiritual consciousness means to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. So we might do some things which appears to be for Krishna, but actually it's not fully or properly for Krishna. So therefore we have to discuss these points also. What is Krishna consciousness? Yeah. Any other question?
Or do such kind of activities so that they should not think that they saying there are so many people who don't do illicit sex and eating. What is that force which makes them to go on doing that, means go on in the material life and not surrender to Krishna? Even though they are pious.
There are many people who are apparently pious but they don't surrender to Krishna. Why is that? Yeah, well, that's superficial piety, isn't it? I discussed that in detail yesterday evening in the talk. Yeah, someone may be pious because they feel I'm good like that, or they think I'll get a good birth in the next life. They haven't been fortunate to hear the message of Krishna from devotees, or even if they've heard, they haven't been inclined to that. It requires good fortune to take to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, everyone in this material world is in illusion. Some people are religiously in illusion and some people are atheistically in illusion. Some people are better than others and some people are worse. But unless we understand that I am only meant for serving Krishna, we're in illusion. It means attached, because we have a long-standing desire to avoid Krishna. Krishna bahimukh hoya bhogavancha kare nikatastha mayatare japatiya dhare. When we get the idea not to serve Krishna, then we get the idea to enjoy this material world, then maya catches us. So maya catches us either as we become a complete rascal, or we become a well-behaved, pious person, but it's all outside of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Then? If we chant 16 rounds and read Prabhupada's books, Maya won't touch us. You've heard. But you're doing that and still Maya is touching us. Well, there's a quality also. Chanting 16 rounds doesn't just mean finished. There's a quality also. So, we have to keep on striving. Maya tests us. So, we're chanting and reading. We're in what's called the sadhana dasha, the stage of sadhana. Sadhana means we're trying to become purified. It means we're not on the fully perfectional stage. So as soon as we seriously try to take up Krishna consciousness, then Krishna takes care of us through His bhakti shakti. Mahatmanas tumang parata diving prakti mashritaha. But it's not just that Maya switches off in a day. We have to keep on applying ourselves to the process very seriously. So go on, and we'll find gradually we're becoming closer to Krishna and further from Maya. An example is given is that with the electric fan, you may switch it off. So that means the electric current isn't coming anymore. But still the effect is there because the electric current is very powerful. So it takes a little time to wind down. So if the fan is switched off, it's off. There's no electricity coming. But still the effect is there for some time. So if we follow the process of Krishna bhakti, sadhana, very carefully, then Maya is switched off, but still the effect may be apparent. For some time. We should have the faith that if I stick with this, then Krishna will help me.
I am so reading that you see, take the from the
take what? If we take Harinam Diksha from Guru, then really? Yeah, Diksha is, that's required also. That's also required. But what does Diksha mean? Diksha kale bhakta kare atma samarpan. It's not just a matter of sitting and in a ceremony, but the real Diksha means to fully surrender oneself. That is required. Ashraya loya bhaje Tare Krishna Nahitaje. Whoever worships Krishna taking shelter, then Krishna looks after him. So that is required. That's the system that Krishna has made. Okay, finish for now. Hare Krishna.